Connecting the pieces.
My name is Jay Johnson. The man was walking through the airport, thinking about his problems and what he could do next. As he was walking by the board displaying flight departure and arrival times, he looked up just to make sure he was on schedule and that everything was all right. Assured that everything was fine, he continued on his way to check-in with a slow but steady pace. As he reached the check-in kiosk, he paused. And to his left, a woman approached him. He stopped, turned to look at her, while another woman crept up behind him. She pulled a handkerchief from her pocket, grabbed the man in a chokehold, and held the handkerchief over his face for no more than 2 seconds, before quickly walking away again, blending into the crowd. The man didn't even see her as he quickly turned and looked around, bewildered as to what had just happened. A few minutes later, he felt strange and walked over to a security guard, telling him what happened. The guard directed him to the sick bay, and the man walked there. Upon reaching it, the man once again complained that he felt bad and explained what had happened, although by this time he could feel the strength leaving his body. Lying down on a stretcher, within minutes, he was dead. That's right, the man, a half-brother to the leader of North Korea, had just been assassinated. But why? And how? But more importantly, by whom? And that, dear listeners, is where our story kicks off this week. Now, this week has been awash in a number of different stories. Trump once again ruled the roost when he called out the media for how they portrayed him. Then he held a rally in Florida where huge crowds of everyday people came to his support and enthusiastically cheered him on. On a slightly different note, but no less important, and completely buried by media, was the fact that U.S. military sniffer planes were sent to Northern Europe to discover what the cause of a spike in radioactivity levels across the continent meant. And what do we know? As it turns out, not much. Or at least, that is the official position. But let's look at how it all went down. Now, officially, about 2 weeks ago, as Atlas Obscura reported, the Institut de Radioprotection et de Sûreté Nucléaire, also known as IRSN, a French agency tasked with investigating nuclear threats, issued a cryptic press release on its website that stated, a spike in iodine-131, an isotope that is a product of nuclear fission, like, for instance, after the explosion of a nuclear bomb, had been detected across Europe. In response, the aviationist reported an American plane, the WC-135 Constant Phoenix, also known as a nuclear sniffer for its ability to detect and analyze fallout residue, had been deployed to Britain. Possibly, officials didn't say, to aid in investigating the reported iodine-131 spike. Then a few days after that, the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty Organization, or the CTBTO, an international organization established by the still not ratified Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty, said no, levels of iodine-131 were normal across Europe, or at least compared to what they have been historically. That's right, basically nothing to see here. But is that right? Theories about the origin of the radiation have ranged from a secret nuclear test in northern Russia to a tactical nuclear device being set off in the Arctic in some kind of unknown skirmish, to the incident being related to the explosion at a French nuclear facility because, as the West reported it, there had been a massive blast at a French nuclear power plant. Although subsequent reports have downplayed the French connection, others have noted the explosion, coupled with prevailing winds, could explain the situation. Others say, once again, that this is pure hogwash. But once again, the people are being left in the cold and on their own, wondering who to believe. And speaking of whom to believe, another massive story this week, and yet underreported as well, was the death of Russian ambassador to the UN, Vitaly Churkin. Although, as CNN reported, the diplomat suffered from cardiac arrest while at the Russian mission on East 67th Street, that's right. He was at work when he died from a heart attack. And while it was also widely reported that Ambassador Churkin was a hard worker who had long suffered from heart complications, it should also be noted that he was not the first Russian diplomat to die in recent weeks. Or even the second. Or even the third. A headline at BuzzFeed reported back in November on the strange case of the Russian diplomat who got his head smashed in on election day. The story continued. Initial reports said the nameless man had plunged to his death from the roof of the consulate. As journalists rushed to the scene, consular officials quickly changed the narrative. The anonymous man had not fallen dozens of feet from the roof of the consular building, they said, but had rather suffered a heart attack in the security office and died. Curious, right? And what about a few months ago when, as The Guardian reported, Russian ambassador to Turkey shot dead by a police officer in Ankara gallery live on TV? That's right, a Russian diplomat was killed in front of a live audience. And then the assassin was also killed. So, while on the face of it, the circle has been completed, the question still remains. In the midst of the massive crackdown on society and people in positions of authority in Turkey since the failed coup back in the summer, how was this man able to remain undetected? How did a guy, seemingly with ties to radical Islam and terrorist groups, get so close that he was able to pull off a spectacular hit in public? And what about one of the top NATO guys being whacked back in late December? As the Express wrote, mystery as NATO Auditor General is found shot dead in suspicious circumstances. That's right. The story continued by noting, police in Belgium are probing the death of a high-ranking NATO official after his body was discovered in his car with a gunshot wound to the head. In fact, the article even noted that, according to the local newspaper reports, the man was a registered keeper of three weapons, however the gun found at the scene did not belong to him. So, whose gun was it? And where did it come from in supposedly gun-free Europe? Or what about the other guy who died at around the same time, as The Sun reported? Dirty dossier death, Russian spy linked to Donald Trump's dirty dossier found dead in his car in Moscow. That's right. The article continued, a former KGB spy chief suspected of helping Brit spook Christopher Steele compile the Trump dirty dossier has been found dead in mysterious circumstances. He was found dead in the back of his car in Moscow on Boxing Day. As the world continues to turn, media in America continues to focus on minor stories, such as who can use what bathroom and when, while major stories with real implications are being sidelined. Are these killings what President Obama meant when he said on APR that we need to take action? And we will, at a time and place of our own choosing. Some of it may be explicit and publicized, some of it may not be. Is there an ongoing war among the secret services of the world that isn't being covered? Or is this, as Micah Brzezinski, an MSNBC news anchor whose father has presidential advisor to several presidents and is arguably part of the deep state, just this week said on TV that President Trump is trying to undermine the media and that it is the media's job to actually control exactly what people think. So, what do you think, dear listeners? Why are so many top-level government officials dying?